Welcome to the Winner's Walk podcast, where you will learn from today's top Christian leaders how to fulfill your divine destiny and to live the victorious life God has called you to live. By sharing their godly wisdom and stories of success, we hope our guests will inspire, educate, and motivate you to walk like the winner God made you to be. And now, here's the host for Winner's Walk, Neil Clark.
Hey, winners. I'm your host, Neil Clark, and I'm very excited for today's show. We are honored and blessed to have as our guest today a true American hero, former Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin on the line. Now, I'm going to read his bio. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit of America's ultra-secretive and clandestine Delta Force. He became commander of the unit and later still commander of the U.S. Army Special Forces. His 36 years in the military included a tour at the Central Intelligence Agency and clandestine missions around the world. General Boykin retired in 2007, serving his last 4 years as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Today, he's an author, speaker, and ordained minister with a passion for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and encouraging Christians to become warriors in God's kingdom. He speaks frequently on military, national security, terrorism, and the Middle East. He has been featured on national radio and television, including Fox News and Glenn Beck. General Boykin and his wife, Ashley, enjoy spending time with their 5 children and growing number of grandchildren. So it is my great honor to welcome to the show today, General Jerry Boykin. General, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I grew up in North Carolina and played football at Virginia Tech, and also was in the Corps of Cadets there, and I was commissioned an infantry officer in December of 1970. I spent my first tour in a combat zone was in Vietnam near the end of the war there in 1972 and then on into 73. And then I came back and served in a variety of infantry assignments to include being an instructor in the Ranger Department. And while I was there, they started the Delta Force, and I came in and went through the Delta Force selection and was selected as one of the original officers of the Delta Force. And I served there for a total of 13 years, ultimately commanding those warriors there in the Delta Force. And then I wound up in Washington, where I spent time on the joint staff, and then ultimately over to the CIA, where I spent 2 years, just as I became a brigadier general. I spent 2 years at CIA, and then I commanded all the Green Berets, the Special Warfare Center and School, and ultimately my last 4 years, I was the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence.
Wow, what a remarkable career that you've had. Now, you started off, so you're from North Carolina. Obviously, I'm from North Carolina as well, and so we have some hometown roots there. I didn't know that you went to Virginia Tech. I did read your book, Never Surrender, and I think it's a great read, and anyone who wants to learn more, obviously, especially what it took to be a Delta Force and what the qualifications were and just the rigors of what you had to endure and to embody. It's a great read. What drew you to the military, I guess?
You know, growing up in North Carolina, and I had a tradition in my family that if you were a male, and your name was Boykin, that you were expected to serve your country in the military. And my dad and 4 of his brothers served in World War II together. So some in the Pacific, some in the European theater, but they served together there in World War II. And so, that, you know, I listened to the war stories of my dad and his brothers and his friends. And I always knew that there was an expectation that I would serve, but I also wanted to follow in the footsteps of my dad, who was really in many ways my my mentor and my inspiration for wanting to serve the country. And so I knew I was coming in the Army. I didn't know that I would make a career of it.
Right, right. Well, that's great. And so when you were growing up, was faith a part of your growing up, or is that something that you took to later in life?
No, I actually, growing up, my dad and mom kept me in church. Mm-hmm. They took me to church, you know, every Sunday, and we were very active in the church. My mom was a spiritual giant. My dad was a believer, but less committed to the faith than my mother. And so my mother was really my spiritual mentor.
Fantastic. Gotta love praying moms.
Absolutely.
Now, you obviously excelled in the military. And I don't mean to understate, you kind of understate your qualifications, but to be a commander of the Delta Force, to be commander over all the special forces is a tremendous honor, and obviously excelled. How would you say that your faith helped you in that, in excelling in that way?
Yeah. You know, I'm a person of, let's say, average intellect and average ability, in an environment that required, much greater intellect and much greater skill and talent and capabilities than I had. So in order to be able to lead men with those characteristics, I had to have more than what I had naturally, and that was where faith was the equalizer. Being able to reach out to a sovereign God, being able to call upon his strength, his wisdom, his discernment to help me and guide me during difficult periods or with tough decisions, in combat, or through, in fact, in a several cases, through, you know, the recovery from wounds that I had achieved, some of which were debilitating wounds. That was exactly what I relied upon to be able to succeed as a member of the Delta Force and the Ranger Battalions, and then ultimately, when I got to be a more senior officer, the challenges of chasing war criminals in the Balkans, and working at the CIA, and then working for the Bush administration.
And speaking of that, you came under a little bit of persecution for your faith. And just wanted to see, was that one of the major hurdles that you faced, or, you know, what kind of hurdles did you have to face through your career?
Yeah, I would say that certainly was one of them. And I would say that was probably at that time when I went through all of that, I was a brand new 3-star general. And you say a little bit of persecution. I'd say it was a lot of persecution. And I was lifted up to the media as being a right-wing religious zealot that, you know, really had no place in the Bush administration. And the media came after me because I had spoken about the evils of radical Islamic terrorism and what motivated them and why they were out to why they had destroyed those towers in New York. And and why they were out to, in the long run, to destroy this nation as a whole. And the media didn't like that. The media took exception to what I said, which was essentially right out of the Quran. So,
correct.
But they took exception to that, and they came after me. And it wouldn't have been, it would have been different if I hadn't been a Christian, but they really made an issue of my faith being what motivated me to criticize this other religion, this other faith, and disrespect the Islamic faith. And it wasn't because they didn't know what I said. It's because they didn't care what I said. They just saw an opportunity to go after the Bush administration, and I was the pathway for doing so.
Sure. Sure. Now, how did you overcome that? Obviously, that was a pretty big, like you said, pretty big persecution, but you remained rock solid in your faith. You remained steady through the whole thing. And I mean, obviously a great example of how to overcome persecution. But what helped you through that that process?
Yeah, I tell you what, it was so bad, and I was so unprepared for it that I literally laid across my bed and said, "God, take me. I'm done. I can't go on." But he didn't.
Right.
And I'm thankful that he didn't answer that prayer the way I had asked. That said, what I learned through that whole thing is that sometimes you have to reach a point where you have absolutely no recourse but to rely on God himself. And we all know that, and we all say that. But rarely do we ever get to the point where we totally surrender to God and leave things totally in his hand, while doing our part, while doing what he calls us to do, while doing what he inspires and directs us to do. But we are relying on him for the outcome. And that's, I finally reached that point. And when I reached that point, the rest didn't matter. It's okay. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to stand up against these charges. I'm going to fight, but I'm really not going to worry about the outcome, because you know, God has the control of this. Now, normally when people say God has control, I mean, I don't have to do anything. That's not true.
Right.
When you say God has control, he's controlling the outcome. But he's inspiring you all the way through. You better be listening, and you better be following, and you better be taking some action too. It's like Esther. You know, when she found out that her people were going to be murdered, Esther could have just said, "Well, God's in control," but no, Esther took action. And that's what God calls us to do. Take action, but know that he has control. He's going to guide you through the process. So when I went through that whole thing, it was a maturity that I think I saw as a result of that. I became a more mature Christian, because I really probably maybe the first time in my life, I had to turn everything over to God and be totally reliant upon him. He brought me through it. They exonerated me, and they set me really on the path to ministry just with that, you know, the months. That started in October of 2003, and I was exonerated in July of 2004. So it took that long for all of this. I went through all of that, having to place myself before the Lord every day. And then I've had trials similar, but not, you know, what I've done is I've come to the point where when these kinds of things happen, I reflect on the fact that God's going to lead me through this, because he promised me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to lead me through this. And there's a point at which I'll turn around and look back and say, now I understand what I gained through all that. I don't believe God brings trials on us. A lot of people do. I don't. I don't think he brings evil to us. Let me say that. But I think he lets us go through trials for a variety of reasons, but one of which is it prepares us for the work that he has down the road. And I can certainly see that in my life.
Well, I did definitely take that and then spawn into a ministry and give you opportunity to go out and to minister. I know you've been a great inspiration to myself and a lot of people that will be listening to this. You mentioned your dad as one of your mentors. Were there any other people that you had that kind of mentored through your career and through your life?
Yeah, there was a man. In fact, he just died a year ago. And his name was Lieutenant General Retired Sam Wilson. Hmm. And Sam Wilson was one of Merrill's Marauders in the China-Burma India Theater in World War II. He was a reconnaissance patrol leader with Merrill's Marauders. He won a Distinguished Service Cross there. But I was blessed. I mean, absolutely blessed to have him as a mentor. And he was, for 30 years, he was my mentor. And I can't tell you how much I gained from just being with him and sitting at his side and listening to, you know, him talk about the war that he fought in and the trials that he endured. And, you know, he was also at the CIA. He was he was attached to the State Department. So he had a broad array of assignments and experiences, and he shared those with me, and then he would give me little corrections in my own life. And then when he died, I spoke at his funeral, but it was almost like, as the pastor preached his funeral, it was almost like it was General Sam talking to us. And then it dawned on me, he gave this guy all of these things that he wanted said at his funeral. And I mean, isn't that a wonderful way to go out?
That is.
Know you're getting absolutely ready to die and have the opportunity to leave the messages that you want those people to hear. So he was an inspiration.
Wow. That sounds like a great man. Now God has now moved you into not only your own ministry where you're speaking at churches and events and those kind of things, but you're also working to continually fight for our country with the Family Research Council. And I see almost every night on Fox News somewhere or one of the other news channels. Tell me what's in the future for General Boykin.
I'm going to continue here at the Family Research Council. It's a great place to be, and it's one of those places where after 36 years in the military, you can come here and still feel like you're in the fight and you're making a difference and you've got, you know, you're still serving. So I'm going to stay here and I'm going to continue running a ministry. I do a ministry called Kingdom Warriors. And I speak to men's groups and churches and business leaders and a variety of different people. But my focus is pretty much the same. It is really a focus on faith, religious liberty, family, freedom. And that's what I intend to do with the rest of my life.
That's awesome. Now, are there any words of wisdom as we wrap up here? I know you had just a short amount of time, and appreciate that. Was there any words that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, yeah, there is, and this is what I would say to you. First of all, everything you think you believe is going to be challenged. So, what you better understand is what do you believe, and why do you believe it? It is not good enough to believe it just because you were taught that in Sunday school or just because your dad told you that capitalism was better than socialism. You got to know what you believe, but more importantly, why do you believe it? Do you believe it because the Word of God says it? Well, what does the Word of God say? You need to spend time developing a personal philosophy of what you believe and why you believe it, and be able to defend your beliefs because they will be challenged.
And that is such wisdom. And now you mentioned Kingdom Warriors. Your website is that my listeners could go to? Is it
KingdomWarriors.net? One word, KingdomWarriors.net.
Great. We'll put that up on the screen just so everybody can go to that. And I do want to thank you once again. I let you know that you're a true American hero. I appreciate men like yourself who are out there fighting the fight every day and being a great example that we can follow and emulate, and really appreciate all you've done for our country and for freedom and for the faith. And so thank you so much for your time
thank
today.
Thank you it's very much. That's very kind of you.
No, it's my great honor. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to connect with us at www.winnerswalk.com for more information on our next podcast and to download your free checklist, the 10 success principles of today's Christian leaders that you can copy. God bless, and walk like the winner God made you.